gotta suffer next to those who don't respect the rap legacy. Because I egg MCs on the late nights, they gotta wait right clever raps. Cause with the bullshit it sounds like they never rap. In they life, I got a knife that is lyrical, and Della's cause of fear is still has potential. They didn't learn how the money's gonna burn. I yearn to make rap better. Let's stick together. You had your chance and you blew it. You had your chance and you blew it. You had your chance, you blew it. You had your chance,
you had your chance, you had your chance,
you blew it.
Now,
yeah, suck funky it. Homo sapien, hieroglyphics. Yeah, the funky Homo sapien from hieroglyphics. Yeah, the funky Homo sapien from hieroglyphics. Yeah, the funky Homo sapien from hieroglyphics.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, I thought we were talking about fantasy baseball real quick.
We were talking about fantasy. And I actually wanted to bring that up.
Oh,
because I found it very funny. So this is our B league, but it's funny. It's like it's the league that we really don't pay attention to as much.
Well, it's a competitive league.
Can I finish? Yeah.
You're saying we.
It is the B league, dude. Yeah. Come on.
I don't agree with that at all.
If you win the title in your league or in my league, what more does it mean?
My league?
Your league? Okay. Well, it's the B league, dude. It's amateur night, you can tell.
Except, anyways, it's a better league with more competitive teams. But.
It's a better league just because more people actually... Well, you can't even say that. This is like, you probably have maybe 70% participation with everybody as compared to like 100%, like maybe 4 or 5, 100% people paying attention in my league and like two of them that don't even pay attention at all.
Wait, you say 4 or 5, 100%?
You're not 100%? I'm not 100%?
In your league?
Yeah.
No, I am.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's a couple of deadbeat owners.
Two.
One happens to be
a
producer of this show.
Well, he's under a lot of stress. Your league is filled with a bunch of supposed high rollers that like to play for high stakes. So they up the ante to $100 to entry to get in. And one guy was always talking about how like if the guy like that finishes like dead last, he needs to
be punished.
He needs to be punished in some way. And what it ended up being was, and he went on about probably for 10 or 15 minutes about saying how the guy that finishes dead last needs to like you know be punished in some way or has to pay like $25 extra or something like that for finishing dead last or whatever it was. So what we came to is that the guy that finished dead last had to set the next draft, right? So this guy went on a big old long spiel and he was like, you finished last, so you gotta figure out how you're gonna do the draft and figure everything out. So my boy over here, the commissioner, better have my donuts, sends out an email going like, well, I really don't have a time and place for the draft yet. And me being the instigator that I am goes like, well, I thought it was the guy that finishes dead last has to set up the party or whatever or the draft. And so you thought it was someone else and then it wasn't. He brought to your attention that it's the guy that actually like proposed all this idea to punish the guy that finishes last, right? So this guy comes back saying how he's in Tahoe playing blackjack and his solution was for everybody in San Jose to drive up to Concord to do the draft. And I find that highly amusing. Just like you know, you gotta put your money where your mouth is, dude. And so it's just like you know, it's just like the reason why this league is the B league to me is because you have a bunch of people talk a lot of big fucking game, and when it comes down to actually like doing any work, they'll like find the cheapest solution. He's like, I got a barbecue. He's like, oh, you got hot dogs too. So I just find it highly amusing. And the worst thing about the whole thing is that if you get, like, say, like, your boy Brad to say, like, yeah, let's go to Concord, everybody will follow suit, and they'll all go to Concord. So you got to work on Brad and say, like, Brad, we're not going to Concord. Because the second he says that we're going to Concord, we're going to Concord. And I just find that highly amusing. It's like, it's more of the same. You know, it's like when it comes down to time to actually doing the work and following through with what you're going to say, and it doesn't happen, and we're all cool with it. You're like, oh, yeah, hey, you know, he doesn't have to do anything because he's a fucking idiot. So the fucking idiot can't plan out the draft because he's a fucking idiot. Even though he was the one that cried the most the biggest out of the bitch out of anything. And if this guy had happened, if his name happened to be Jeremiah that pulled the same shit, you would have been like climbing on my roof and like throwing like eggs at people and stuff. Like, not, you know, the cops would have to ask you to come down and stuff. They'd have to bring the SWAT team. But since it's your boy Jim that you used to once room with, and everybody thinks he's a flippin' idiot in the first place, you let it slide, dude. So that's where I'm coming from with this whole thing.
Well, I'm going to say you're way off base on this in a couple of reasons. One, I went back and reread that email a second time, and it's not like he's demanding everyone drive.
I never said he's demanding.
Right.
What I'm saying is he's taking the easy road out, saying, like, you guys can come to my place if you want. And it's like, no. If you're going to sit there and cry like a little bitch for 15 minutes and waste 15 minutes of my precious time with my 548 Twitter followers saying that the guy in last has to be punished and set everything up, you don't go to S. Pokes Facto and say, well, you guys can come to my house if you want. It's like, no, you got to put your work in. Everybody lives in flipping San Jose or in Milpitas, in the greater San Jose, Milpitas Bay Area. And your first solution is going, you know, it's like, well, I'm a lazy ass. So, hey, if you guys want to come to my place, you guys can come to my place. I have a barbecue. It's like, shut the hell up, dude.
All right. Well, to his credit.
His credit.
He actually responded, unlike your boy Jeremiah or Aaron ever would.
Aaron
signed up, but he doesn't see shit. Okay, and second of all, I've gone to great lengths to my own personal humiliation to...
And somehow that became more work for me, but go ahead.
No, it's less for
work for me. It's more work for me, go ahead.
No, because whenever Jeremiah or Aaron goes off on some fucking stupid tangent, before I go to the boards and tell them that they're idiots, I fucking come to you. Because you're the one that's got to straighten that shit out.
That's more work.
And, shit.
Who was the commissioner of that league before? Before you and Jeremiah got in this huge-ass fight.
Well, Jeremiah was acting like a little bitch.
I'm not saying who was or who wasn't. All I'm trying to prove the point is that it ended up being more work for me. Because who was the commissioner at that time?
Allegedly Jeremiah.
Jeremiah was. And then who had to take over these duties where we owe like $800 in total payments because nobody ever collected money beforehand. So who actually got more work out of this? Not you, not Jeremiah, me.
Well,
that's who. Who I trust? Me. That's who put this thing together, not me.
Well, I find it funny because even though you did have to put additional work in to become the commissioner in the so-called A-League, it was because your boy Jeremiah and your boy Ben were derelict in their duties. So...
Where are you going? You walking away?
No.
It's like talking to my wife, man. You know, you make a point, and then you walk away in the other room. And now here I'm all by myself. I'm literally all by myself.
That was like the mic drop right there. You're with Ben. The reason why there's a financial deficit.
Ben didn't have any treasure duties at that time. It was basically what it went down was like.
And hold on one second.
Here we go.
I like to backtrack. Because
you backtrack?
Yeah, because
why don't you backtrack on your boy Jim? Not following through. You're really good at backtracking, but you don't look forward. You know, let's look forward because your former roommate is bitching out, and you're cool with it. You're like, oh, that's cool because you didn't demand us to go there.
I'm not cool with it.
I'm not a dictator.
What was the
A? What are you Hawaiian now? A.
I'm trying to keep the peace in that league, and that's what I got to do. I just wanted to point out...
The A-League or the B-League?
Well, I know which league is more competitive. That's all I know. But I would say that going back to the money situation, it was me that's the one that won the league and never got paid for that shit.
Actually, you got paid $50 from Mike Oz.
Right.
And I'm currently working on getting you paid after having 3 years where nobody paid.
Yeah.
So we're working on that.
I know.
Okay, so, and plus, you've been able to play for free for the past 3 years. Right,
everybody got paid.
Nobody's gotten paid. Why?
So until I owe you?
Do I owe you $800?
No, that's why.
Okay,
I don't.
So where do you think the $800 come from?
All the other deadbeats.
All the other deadbeats and all the other people. Nobody has gotten paid. And the funny thing about the whole thing was that the guy that left us in these financial straits. He finally wins, right? And now he's starting to come over like, hey, where's my winnings? Yeah. Where's my winnings? Yeah. So I had to give him the long-ass email saying, like, listen, man, like, this is what you did. This is what I was left with. I'm flipping looking for a, you know, not only am I working 6 days a goddamn week, I'm busy looking for a job that actually where I can actually work and get paid a whole lot better than I'm getting paid now. And I'm doing the best I can with what limited resources I have. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And I said, don't ask them, dude. You know what you left me, right? So I guess it compounds on top of that because, and I'm putting undue pressure on you. So I apologize for that. But I find it very funny and hard to believe that you have the biggest bitch in your league crying and moaning, saying he wants change and all this shit. So when it's time for him to pay the fucking piper, he's nowhere to be seen. And he suggests for all of us to go up and drive up an hour to go to his little bitch ass apartment, which I know it is, with a little barbecue pit that's probably like a 4-inch barbecue pit, and we can make hot dogs.
It's a solid gas grill. Yeah.
And then you know, like, that's just like an opportunity for him to, like, you know, well, we can go smoke weed in my backyard. So I'm gonna have Ben go to the draft in his community office uniform to try to curtail the weed smoking, even though it hasn't happened the past 3 years.
Yeah,
exactly. But you know for a fact, if we go all the way to Concord, you know all those guys are gonna smoke weed up there because it's Jim Panzee's house, Steve.
No.
And what are we gonna do about it? We're just gonna let him say, like, oh yeah, no, that's cool. Hey, you don't have to fulfill your duties that you're supposed to. Because the guy last year did, right?
No.
Who finished last year? Wasn't it Paul?
I don't know.
And we had it.
Whoever it was, but I still set the whole thing up, which is pretty much I just ended up setting it up.
So we can just kill that rule then.
Doesn't make any difference to me because either way, like I still have to do the legwork.
Oh.
I don't care.
I care when people say they're going to do something or we agree to a rule and nobody does it, and we all just kind of look around and go like, oh yeah, that's cool. You know, that's what I get mad about.
Now I hear you, and I'm the irony is not lost on me.
And by the way, all the stuff that went down in the A League, even though you like to call it the B League, all the things that went down between you and the other guy, it's all good, dude. I hold no ill will towards you.
I mean, you generally think I was justified to say what I had to say. All I'm saying is, like, Jim. Okay, yes, Jim is Jim. There's no doubt about that. But Jim gets involved in the league from the beginning to the end, unlike the couple of deadbeats of the other league that are complete non-entities.
Well, one of the deadbeats won last year.
Yeah, and didn't say jack shit until he finally wins in a playoff series, and then he wants to come out the woodwork talking a bunch of yin-yang.
And then he comes around and says, like, hey, you got my money?
Yeah, this is some straight pussy shit. But you're going to defend that as the A-League, so go right ahead.
I'm not defending anything. I say that's the A-League. I don't need to defend it. I care more about that league than I do the other league. Just because you have a bunch of guys that feel that they have to put in $100 to make it more competitive, and it's like I would play fantasy baseball for free.
Nah, and I agree with that. Yeah. But all I'm saying is, at least there's participation, 100% participation in that league.
You think there's 100% participation up and down every single person?
Yeah. Well, they don't all necessarily comment, but I know every single guy is looking at his roster and making moves. Pretty much at all times, where there's like three.
So who has better trade deadlines? I think my league has better trade deadlines because I do more trades than that one.
Well, that's you because you can get over and rape all your
boys. Oh, here we go. Now I know why Jeremiah stepped down as commissioner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you go back to the same old tried and true method, right?
Hey, you mean the truth?
You say you're saying that I'm raping everybody in my league. I say you rape everybody in your league. They've been over backwards for you.
Yeah, I think the track record.
Who have I raped in the past couple of years? What deal? The only person I know that I would probably have raped in the past is you. I haven't raped anybody else.
Yeah, well, of late, yeah, I stopped dealing with you, so you didn't get over on me anymore.
So who have I gotten over? Just because I do
Mike,
that, just so I
Ben,
can do, how have I gotten over on these people?
Making deals that they have no business.
Making five deals in a row?
Making moves.
And the whole thing is, the reason why I make deals with all those people is because me and you had a deal, and then you hem and hawed it, and you turned around and you made a deal with someone else. So I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to make three deals to fuck you over, and we'll call it a day. And not only did I make three deals, I made five deals in one day, just because you said no to my deal. So I had to actually do work and got everything done. I had the assets to do it, and I did it. How is that raping anybody?
Last year, I think everything was straight up. But in general, on the overall of the league, you've gotten over several times on people over and over.
Name one.
Mike.
How am I getting over on Mike? Okay, and yeah, now you're going to say that I'm getting over on Ben. Ben, the most, like, he has, like, the tightest, like, he has, like, the tightest, like, crevice known to man, and I've gotten over on that guy?
Yep.
How? What, name a deal. Come on. You sound like Rick the Model Martello. Tito Santa.
This is like a league that's got 12 years running, man, so I can't.
I've never gotten over on Ben, ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
Okay, okay. I've never gotten over on Mike either. Now, Ben and Mike, those guys have raped each other continuously. But
well, Mike ain't never raped Ben. Ben's raped Mike.
Okay, on several so people. Now you're putting Ben on top of me. You know, saying it's just because he rapes other people.
I know you've gotten over on Ben, dude.
I would like to know how. The only deal I've gotten over on Ben was in your league with trading away Albert Pujols. That's the only league that I've gotten over on.
That deal was legit.
Now you're just talking nonsense, Steve.
No, that deal was legit at the time.
Now I know why you like that league so much, because you can say outlandish things and never back it up and never have to do any legwork. Just like your boy Jim over there, dude. Uh-huh. That's why. Well, you're saying all this stuff, you can't back it up. When are you going to back it up?
I have no...
Then shut the hell up. You say I rape everybody left and right. I haven't raped anybody, dude.
Yeah,
until you can prove, until you can Alejandro blaze it, dude, or was it Sunny at the time? Until you can do that, then shut the fuck up. Because you can say all this stuff all you want, but if you can't back it up, then it doesn't mean anything, dude.
Carl Everett?
I think I did a deal with you for Carl Everett.
Yep.
Yeah, I raped you.
Yeah.
So you're everybody in that league?
Nope. But that's the one that I can actually put a name to.
And I raped...
Cal Eldridge.
And who did I do the deal with?
Me.
Yeah. Is your name Ben? Or Mike? So you're still wrong. So shut the hell up, dude.
I'm not wrong. You asked for a deal and I gave it to you.
No, I asked you, when have I raped Ben or Mike? That's what I asked.
And I told you, I cannot.
Okay, so shut the hell up. I have to go research.
Nah, please.
Research.
All right. I've never raped anybody in our league, then.
Yeah, because you're not good at it.
Well, you just said I did, so.
Rape? No, I'm talking, in your league?
Yeah.
Let's see. You've done multiple deals with, like, has-beens and stuff. Let's see. You've raped Jim a couple times.
When?
Back in 2004.
Who?
It was probably, like, probably some Japanese dude was involved.
No. I never had no Japanese ball players.
So you mean to tell me that you can honestly say in your league that you've never gotten over on anybody?
I can say it as honestly as you until you can come up with an actual deal that I've gotten over on.
The only person I've gotten over on multiple times has been you, and one of them, and the only one that I've gotten over was Carl Everett, because I traded Hayward or whatever it was, and you got started on Castro or whatever it was, and Castro took care of you for a while. And I got over on Mike by trading Jose Fernandez last year for a fifth round pick, but nobody thought that Jose Fernandez was going to keep on doing what he was doing. I mean, he had two or three good starts and he took off after that. So I got lucky. It wasn't like I was sitting there going like, oh, yeah, I know about this guy, and blah, blah, blah. So I got lucky on that guy. And that's pretty much it. Everything else I've had to pay through the teeth for. And you can't say that about Slow, because you know you've gotten over guys on Slow, dude. Stuff that didn't... I mean, I remember, like, when the league first started, you were making, like... You had your A-League gloves on, coming at all these flipping rookies, you know, in your league, and you're able to manipulate them and just take advantage of them because they had no idea what the hell was going on. And you did that for, like, the first 2 years of your league. More power to you. That's all I'm saying.
No, we started both leagues at the same time, so there's no, like, rookie league versus...
We
like,
didn't. We started the other league, like, 2 years before.
Maybe one.
No, because we had the first one we did by points, and then we had a year of head-to-head, and then the year after that, we started your league.
Pretty sure the second year when we did head-to-head, we did both. I mean, we went down to slow and drafted. Nevertheless, that's a good 20 minutes on fantasy baseball.
Yeah. It's not actually 20 minutes. You're getting over on the clock right now by saying it's 20 minutes. It's actually 1935. So you're trying to
round,
do it. You're trying to do it again. Yeah.
Round it.
Yeah. So we're going to Concord, huh? Going to Concord on Sunday?
No.
And you're going to have to set it all up again, right? You want any help? You want me to help you set anything up? Or
it's in the works.
Can we tell, like, Jim that he has to buy beer or some shit like that instead of, like, offering to go to the shitty little fucking one-bedroom apartment that all you can afford in Concord?
It just depends. Like, right now, tentatively, I'm saying it's going to be at Paul's Bar, in which case, no one needs to buy beer. But,
he owes us a round, at least, dude.
But no one has to pay.
No, we do have to pay.
Paul doesn't make us pay over there.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, we all chip in. He, like, he takes a look at the total, and we all chip in and then take care of him that way.
Huh. Never made me pay.
I think because I paid for you last time, because I owed you some money. So actually, I don't owe you $200. I probably owe you like, you know, maybe $245 or something. So now we're like we're definitely on the road to WrestleMania. We can talk about wrestling. I really don't see what there's a lot that much to talk about. But go ahead, I'll let you.
Well, did you end up watching the whole show this time?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll.
And there's only like three or four, maybe three things. Oh, maybe three segments that I watched this entirety. Can you name the segments that I watched in entirety? And three's on the low end, I think.
I know you watched the Shield and Kane segment.
Nope, fast forward that one.
I have no idea, dude.
Did you watch it?
Hell yeah.
Okay, then what do you think I watched?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No.
And you're not afraid to go out on a limb and guess?
Not after that.
Not after that?
I mean...
One of them is easy.
Not really. I mean... If you wouldn't watch the Shield segment, then I don't know what you would be watching.
Okay. So. All right, let's keep on talking then.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to say what I watched.
All right, you watched Fandango and whoever the hell he fought.
No.
No. Let's see. There's no Santino this week.
Like, I have to watch a full segment of Santino? Come on, dude. One of them's, like, easy. Who do I always watch, dude? See, you don't even remember the show.
No, I remember the show, but I don't know.
That's how memorable it was.
No, I know what happened on the show.
Okay, so who's like the only guy now that I watch? bad news, Barrett.
Yeah. Okay.
No, come on, dude.
I don't know.
You really? Don't
I know you won't watch. I know you don't necessarily watch Daniel Bryan segments.
Okay, I didn't. I watched the end of that. I didn't watch the full thing of that.
I mean, given that, I don't think you necessarily watched the 8-man tag match.
Didn't watch that.
So.
These are segments I'm talking about. Segments, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Did Bray Wyatt fucking wrestle on Monday?
Alright, yes.
Did he? Oh, okay, so you did watch it. Okay, so that's one of them. Then I watched
those two segments for Bray. Those are.
I didn't watch the John Cena part.
Okay.
And then I had. Then I watched the induction ceremony. Who is going to be nominated into the Hall of Fame? So I watched Mr. T, and I watched your boy, the Un-Americans versus whoever the hell they thought.
The Usos.
Yeah, the Usos. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's all I really care for. Nothing about this really really excites me. I mean, do you think like Daniel Bryan is going to? Well, Daniel Bryan will wrestle in the three-way. Right? You think he's going to win the whole thing?
I think so.
So
I think he is. I mean, I don't think they would do all that if that wasn't the case. I mean, I think it's pretty compelling, to be honest. Not necessarily the segments, but just this whole 2 weeks. Like, and we kind of talked about this. We didn't do a podcast last week, but we got together on the weekend. And we talked a little bit, and I know you didn't watch the whole Occupy Raw segment, and, like, I don't completely understand, like, how you select what you're going to watch, I'll be honest with that, but, and the segment in itself wasn't a great segment, I'm not going to say that it was, but to see it and to see what came out of it was, I thought, a really big deal, the idea that they actually were going to give Bryan the opportunity to wrestle for the championship at WrestleMania, and like the reason why I find it interesting is because rarely do you actually see some guy that's not part of this establishment that they have, like getting to getting a chance to go to the top, right? They've really been holding this guy down, and I mean, he's got. They haven't held him down in the same way like Ziggler, where they just bury the guy and he loses all the time. I mean, he wins his matches, he's over. But I mean, from the momentum he's been getting from crowds, you would think that they would take advantage of that, and it seemed like they were never going to do it. So I don't know. Was this like part of their plan? See, I kind of really feel like CM Punk leaving really led to them saying, okay, fine, like this is all we got, because for the first time, the universe as a whole seemed like it was turning against them. And I think they kind of caved, which they never do. Like, usually they'll go the opposite direction. So they even put him in the opportunity for that match. You know, I think that's kind of significant. Now, this week it kind of got flipped, because now Triple H is saying, well, if he wins, he's going to be in the three-way match at WrestleMania, which generally I think is probably a smokescreen, but shit, you can never tell with Triple H, because, you know, he's inclined to put himself over whenever possible.
Well, you didn't notice that this whole Daniel Bryan thing has been a slow play for a long time? I mean, this is like one of the, outside of Sting waiting a whole year to win a heavyweight championship, or Bruce the Barber Beefcake facing and losing via disqualification against the Honky Tonk Man for like 2 years for the Intercontinental belt. And this is like one of the, I wouldn't say it's one of the best slow plays, it's just a slow play. And that's all it is. And to tell you the truth, the reason why I don't watch Daniel Bryan segments or matches is just because I really don't care anymore. I don't care. You know, I mean, he's fine, but it's old already. You know, I think if they would have given him the belt probably 2 or 3 months after SummerSlam, some stuff could have happened. But it's just a very staged storyline. It's, you know, Randy Orton hasn't grown from it. Then you throw in Batista. I like what they've done with Batista just a little bit, but there's still nothing to him. And the whole thing is, like, to tell you the truth, I really don't want to see Daniel Bryan beat Triple H. You know what I want to see? This is what I want to see. And I know it's never going to happen. But what I want to see at WrestleMania, okay, is Triple H, okay, beats Daniel Bryan. Then you have Randy Orton. Then you have Batista. And then you have Triple H facing off against each other, right? And there was a tweet way back when after SummerSlam, where Triple H, of course, turns on Daniel Bryan, and then Orton gets the belt. And Mr. Vincent K. McMahon comes out and tweets, says, Evolution's a mystery. Well, you have three guys from Evolution right there. Now, you're not gonna put Flair in there. Flair, you know, Flair's not going to be the fourth person of Evolution, but I want to see Evolution get reformed. And maybe, beyond maybe, if I was Booker, this is what I would do. And I'm doing a lot of, if I was Booker, and I can throw things from all out of left field or whatever it is, but something that would really make me happy is CM Punk becomes the fourth member of Evolution, and you have Evolution after WrestleMania. And then you have a whole string of storylines where Triple H is the champion once again. You have two of the three guys in Evolution. You can always bring in a fourth. It doesn't have to be CM Punk, but you can bring in a fourth guy to be the fourth member of Evolution, and you have Evolution run roughshod again. And then that opens up for the Shield. That can open up for the Wyatt family as well. And then you still have Daniel Bryan with a very slow play, and maybe he gets some type of momentum instead of facing the same fucking guys every week. It's like Randy Orton. Okay, yeah, Randy Orton only faces two guys now. It's either going to be Daniel Bryan, Batista, maybe throwing a Kofi Kingston here or there. You know, I really don't care. But it's just the top of the order, the last match of the night, I just don't care about it anymore. And you know what? I'm getting tired of Daniel Bryan's spots at the same time. He's doing the same spots over and over again. And granted, every wrestler does the same spots, but you have a bunch of other young guys down there, okay, that can do things that we've never seen before, a.k.a. Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt to a small part, and then any other member of the Shield, just doing stuff that is new and fresh. But what do we get? We get the old shit up on top. And to tell you the truth, Daniel Bryan, to me, is starting to become some of the old guard. You have a bunch of good guys down below that are held down, and then you have three or four guys that don't deserve to be there, and they're the ones that are running the main events.
Yeah, well, I mean, to go back to what you were saying at first, yeah, I mean, I see that it could be a slow play, but I'd go back to 2 years ago when it looked like Dolph Ziggler was on the slow play run, and I was patient with it for quite some time. And they did slow play it, and then at the end of the day, they just decided, no, we're not going to do that. And that's the thing that could be happening with Bryan. It's like, yeah, it's a slow play, but at any point in time, because he is who he is, they could just decide, no, we're going in another direction. And I thought that was, it kind of looked, that was what they were going to do. I mean, if CM Punk doesn't walk, then Daniel Bryan stays on the slow play, and it may never even happen. And I think it's, you know, I'm not trying to get into the whole, like, CM Punk side of it right now, but him leaving left a big opportunity for Daniel Bryan, for Antonio Cesaro. And I'm interested to see what happens with it, because WWE can easily do what they generally do and just continue to push the same type of guys that they have. Now, I understand what you're saying about Daniel Bryan. I don't think he's old guard. Man, I still like him because the guy can work really well, and he works his matches well. but, you know, there's no guarantee that that guy was ever going to, like, see all the fruit of his labor come to fruition. And that's what I want. I want to see it, not because I'm this huge Daniel Bryan mark, but that guy, compared to the other guys that are up there, he's put in the work, he's earned it the most.
So you want to see him as champion?
I do.
And then what happens after he becomes champion? I mean, who does he face? I mean, do you see other storylines involved, or you just, I mean, because, or is it just going to be the same guys that he has to face over and over again?
Well, see, and that's where I think the waters get muddy, because one thing, as much as I think that with Punk out of the way, I think Daniel Bryan deserved to get the shot, and I think he should be the champion. The last thing I ever want to see is a Triple H match. And so, I don't know. And I just found it very interesting that all these people, like these kind of like smart internet people that rail on Triple H all the time, got all excited because Triple H is going to be in a match now at WrestleMania. That point was never lost on me. I don't really want to see the Triple H match, but I want to see Daniel Bryan get in that triple threat match and get the title. Where it goes down the line from there, I don't know. I mean, to me, I mean, it's getting odd now because, I mean, I know you didn't watch the segment apparently, but there's a lot of history now in the last couple of weeks that make it look like the Shield might be going babyface, which would throw that off. But if they stayed heel, I mean, that's right there. Any members of the Shield against Daniel Bryan coming out of WrestleMania would be great matches. He still has unresolved business with Bray Wyatt. So there's a lot of stuff that I think you could do going forward. I mean, I think Bray Wyatt makes the most sense after Mania, especially if Bray Wyatt comes through as the guy that beats John Cena, which I just kind of think is going to happen. I think you go straight into that, and that could carry through the summer. So I think there's still a lot of chances for some pretty good matches to go down the road if Daniel Bryan wins. So that's where I'd go with it. I mean, I don't care to see Triple H wrestle anymore. You know, that just, I don't. But
well, what about him on the mic? Because I thought he
Triple
had
H on the mic.
Well, that last segment, I thought he did pretty good on that mic. I think, you know, he's breaking the fourth wall here and there, talking about the police and stuff and everything. And I mean, I thought that was a nice little small thing that he did. I even enjoyed the opening segment when he kind of said, like, you know, if there is going to be a triple threat match, if I win, then I'll be in there. I mean, it can lead. I mean, you have three avenues that it can go, right? I mean, you can have Daniel Bryan win, which is probably the easiest choice to make. You have him win, but then the other thing too, I mean, you can have a double disqualification at the same time, and both of these guys have to go in. It's a four-way yet.
I think that's a pretty good chance to happen as well.
And that's what I'm saying. If you have that four-way, then you can reestablish Evolution if you want to reestablish Evolution. And I'm not opposed to having Triple H figurehead that group again and have him be the guy that has the title, and then you have these two other guys help him, and then there's always going to be a third guy that can be involved as well within that. I'm not opposed to that. If it was Triple H by himself, and he's the only guy standing on his own two feet with the champion, then of course I have a problem with it. But if you bring back Evolution, right, and then you can have Daniel Bryan go against that. You can have the Shield kind of walk that gray line like they have, and with the Cole kind of mini breakup that they have, and now they're coming back and they're on the same page and they're fun to watch again. And it's just kind of funny that it I don't know if WWE realizes that the Shield is fun when they're all on the same page, because those guys work great together, great chemistry, and they're a lot more fun to watch than having them kind of go back and forth. Like, I don't think anybody was interested in that. And I think what it enables allowed Seth Rollins to really shine in that role, and it made you kind of remember that Dean Ambrose was actually pretty good. And then, you know, and you still have what's his name? The guy that breaks, you know, all the girls' hearts on the IWC, you know, and he still comes out as, you know, he's like the main guy, but you still have these two other guys that are really good, and people are starting to remember that all three of these guys, not only they're all good, but three of them as a unit is one of the best things that happened in wrestling in a very long time. To have a three-man group like that can dominate like that and have cohesion like that, that's what's fun to watch. And then at the same token, on the other side, which you bring up a very good point, because I started thinking about that today. It's funny, as Bray Wyatt has taken off and has done these great matches, well, the guys that have, you know, Rowan's fine and Harper, but I mean, Harper was carrying that group for a long time.
Yeah,
when Bray was hurt. Now it kind of seems that people are forgetting about Harper, but that guy's a fun guy to watch in the ring. And we called him for a while, he's one of the best workers in the WWE. So I am more inclined to have a four-way match. I'm more inclined for some type of angle where Evolution reestablishes itself, and especially with Randy Orton on board, because I think Randy is perfect for that spot. You know, when he was kind of, when Evolution reformed for that one night and they had to face Randy Orton, it's like, dude, I'm like, people are waiting for Randy Orton to be a part of that group again, because people liked Evolution. At least I did. Anytime you're going to reconstruct the Four Horsemen, you know, I'm all for it. But on the opposite side, too, so I'm looking, I'm more inclined for a four-way match, and then Triple H walks away with the title, and Evolution's reformed. If we can do that, then I'm very happy. The problem that I have with that is two things. Is that one is that WrestleMania really never establishes new storylines. It's more of kind of a culmination of payoffs, which is the funny thing is like there's been no payoff in the future for WrestleMania. I think they've done two good things. One of them, the best thing about WrestleMania so far is the induction. And that's a strong Hall of Fame induction ceremony class. I mean, that's a very strong class. It's a fun class. And then not only that, but then you have the Battle Royal, which takes care of all these other guys that have no matches. At least they're involved in, I thought it was a very smart move on their part to have all these guys that aren't involved in any type of matches, and they're able to be on WrestleMania and actually like put on maybe a decent match where it's kind of a Royal Rumble. The funny thing is, though, that you're going to carry around this flipping ugly-ass trophy for a year as a champion. You know, it's like, and Christian's all of a sudden mad because he wants this trophy. I mean, this trophy's like the greatest thing ever. If we had that trophy for your slow league or my state league, you know, our fantasy baseball leagues would be a whole lot better. The other problem that I have with WrestleMania is that Bray is so hot right now, and John Cena is just more of the same. If John Cena beats Bray Wyatt, I'm going to have a real problem with that. You know, I'm like a real problem, because Bray has been putting the work in. And I've really started to respect Cena, because Cena is putting people over that he needs to. Even when he wins, you know, he's doing the whole Bret Hart route. You know, like he can win and still put people over, and he can lose at the same time and put people over as well. So he's, by allowing Cena to be not invincible, He's been able to have other people shine, and I'm fine with that. And I said that a long time ago. I was like, if this guy can lose every now and then, I'll watch him more because I want to see what happens. And I've really started to kind of, not so much like, I don't think he's the greatest wrestler in the world, but he's a good performer, and I enjoy his wrestling matches. I think he brings out the best in people in terms of when you beat John Cena or when you take John Cena all the way down to the line. I think it means something for the other guy. Now, if John Cena's role now, instead of being the champion that's going to be hold the belt for a year or whatever it is, like the way he is, and every other month he has a match with some other individual superstar that he hasn't, you know, that he can put over for a little bit, and then they get thrown off to the side, I'll have a real problem with that. But if it's a case where he beats Bray Wyatt and can do the job for Bray Wyatt in the middle of the ring, just like Daniel Bryan did, then I think that really boosts up Bray Wyatt, and then he becomes in the title picture, and it'll be good.
Yeah, I definitely want Bray to win. I feel like Bray is going to win that match. I think they've really protected Bray. I don't think he's lost anything I can't remember him losing any match at all. And I think it's all in this build towards him beating John Cena and kind of being maybe the number one heel going forward after that. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense to line him up with Daniel Bryan going forward. So I definitely think that's what's going to happen. Back to what you were saying before, though, I would be fine with Evolution coming back, but I do not want to see Triple H holding that belt again. He's no good on the mic. And then you're going to have three guys in this major faction that none of them can really cut a promo particularly well. And then they're going to monopolize that and hold the belt. I'm done with Triple H. It's like, he's not entertaining. I mean, if he is going to be good at behind the scenes, which I thought he was going to be, it's kind of mixed bag in terms of like what he's doing in terms of like, you know, the actual wrestling and the storylines and who's getting pushes and whatnot. Like, that's a different conversation. But to me, he doesn't bring much on the mic as an entertainment value or in the ring at this point. I mean, I've seen all those matches. There's nothing new coming out of that guy.
So, without CM Punk, how much do you enjoy the product?
I mean, I definitely miss Punk. I think it's definitely lacking without Punk there. But I think it's still putting on good I think the matches are still pretty good. I did like, you know, I think it was good for a minute that you saw right after he left. Cesaro had a really good run, which he's still kind of on, but it's kind of, you don't know what's going to happen with him and Swagger. If he was going to go solo and kind of fill that void, I thought that was great because, nah, he's putting on great matches.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan, it's kind of the same. I think it would be better if Punk was there, but I think those guys wouldn't, you know, those other two guys probably wouldn't get as much spotlight as they're getting.
Well, I'm laughing over not by what you're saying, but I remembered something that I did see on this Raw, and we'll get back to Cesaro, because I think Cesaro is getting that push, and I really enjoyed the match with the Usos. I thought that was very, very well done. It really put Cesaro in a good light. It really sets them up to break up and force Cesaro to, you know, because the whole thing is like, before we get into that, but so you had the 8-man tag match, whatever it was, and they were coming out of commercial, and they played the Big Show song, right? Mm-hmm. And then do you see what Mark Henry did? So you remember the video that I showed my daughter, marking out when Big Show came on, where she's like pumping her fist and stuff?
Yeah.
Mark Henry did the exact same thing. So the whole thing is like he's pumping his fist and stuff, and like, my daughter's in the kitchen and I'm watching it. And then the song comes on, she comes running out, and I'm like, look, Mark Henry stole your move.
It's gimmick infringement.
There we go, dude. So you know, Cesaro with the Un-Americans and stuff, like, it's set up right now where Swagger's kind of been the odd man out, and he's the one that's kind of been starting everything and kind of sowing dissension and stuff. But I think it's tailor-made for Coulter to really kind of back Jack Swagger. You know, and it actually really plays into the whole un-American thing as well, because like here you have like a real American in Swagger, and then you have this foreigner in Cesaro, and then, you know, he feeds off the success of the American, then he wants to, you know, think that he can run the show or be his own person. So I actually think it's going to set up Cesaro for a face turn instead of an actual heel turn. So they're going to face, they have like the Usos, they can face off against the Usos, right, for the title since they beat them, right?
Possibly. I think they said SmackDown's going to have a four-way tag match.
Between, yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that, I mean, the match was good, but I think this really sets up Cesaro to kind of be on his own and to kind of, I think that's your kind of, I think him and Bray are your next stars, and I think the two stars that they're not utilizing, which, and they've been bearing, has been Dolph Ziggler, has been, the guy's been out of the limelight for such a long time, I can't remember his flipping name. My boy, dude.
Sandow,
yeah. I mean, those are the two guys that are really buried. And then you have, like, you know, you kind of have two guys that people kind of want to forget about and don't really want to see anymore. And that's kind of with Sheamus and Christian. I mean, I understand the whole plot device of that, but it's like, it's just something I really don't care about. I don't see how Christian, who they've never protected for the most part, I'm really supposed to really believe that he has a chance against Sheamus. I just don't get it. It's like, I don't want this whole build up so I can see Sheamus bro kick Christian, and then where do you leave Christian? So Christian's out on the outs again, and he'll be gone for another 4 or 5 months. And I mean, it's just, you know.
Now that feud is definitely filler. I mean, I'll give respect to the two guys. I think they're making the most out of it that they can. I think Christian's doing as best as he can with it. And to Sheamus's credit, I think he's a much more watchable character right now than he was before he got hurt. And he's not as corny and stuff like that. And the matches are okay. I mean, they're nothing great, but they're okay. And they're putting their all. So I think they're doing the best they can do given that situation. But I think, yeah, they just threw those two guys together as, we don't know what to do with you two, so this is what you guys got right now. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I've always tried to, like, we complain a lot. I wouldn't say complain, but we just kind of shake our heads sometimes going like, well, what is this company doing? And we could always see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, they could do this, they could do that. And CM Punk was one of those lights at the end of the tunnel. I thought that Daniel Bryan, for me, was a light at the end of the tunnel. I just don't see a future with this guy. I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, you bring up a good point that he's paid his dues, and that's why you want to see him win the title. I hardly agree with you, but I've seen that happen before. Let's say, like, with a Benoit. When Benoit has paid his due, he got the title and he holds it for a while, and then, you know, he becomes like a very good kind of upper second tier player, and just kind of a guy, you know, just a very good wrestler and all that stuff. Well, with Daniel Bryan, it's just like, if he wins the title, I'm like, well, what does it mean? I mean, I really don't care enough about Daniel Bryan for me to be happy where that's going to appease me to keep on watching the product. I mean, I also watch the product, but I don't watch it with the same type of anticipation, I guess. I think maybe a lot of it has to do is because we are on the East Coast feed now, so I can't really follow it on Twitter. Maybe I should start following on Twitter again to see what kind of people say, because it's more fun when you're reading what people are saying on Twitter. But right now, without CM Punk, you know, and without kind of with if they're going to really put a chink in Bray Wyatt's armor by having him lose to John Cena, then I'm going to be kind of like, well, okay, that's cool, you know, whatever. I watch Bray Wyatt. I'll watch the Shield when they're actually in matches, and that's pretty much it. Those are really the only two things that I'll watch, and I'll watch Cesaro and I'll watch the Usos. That's pretty much it. I really don't watch. There's really nothing that really piques my interest anywhere else. And then you have the whole Heyman and Undertaker stuff. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, definitely. I tried to watch some of that Heyman promo, and as good as Heyman is on the mic, yeah, that whole thing is doing nothing for me. So that I did skip through. But nah, the Shield segment was good, man. I mean,
I watched when they started beating up Kane. I watched that part, but you know, the promo leading up to it, it's like, okay, yeah, cool. I don't care.
Well, I thought the build has been pretty solid the last, like, through SmackDown and last Raw, the whole build of Kane starting to try to, like, boss him around and just kind of watching them, because that's the thing, like, these guys are good, and it's like, yeah, I mean, you can just fast forward through it, I guess, if you want, but, like, you kind of miss the subtleties of what they're doing in the way that they kind of respond to him and the, the nebulous responses that they give him when he's saying, hey, you guys got my back, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're united. Like, it's good. Like, they're doing their job pretty well. And then in the way that they kind of, like, made it seem like they were going to go after King and then turned on Kane, I thought it was done well. I mean, these are all kind of like the marks you look at from guys who, when they first came through, were great in the ring and kind of raw on the mic and other essences. You know, not Dean, but the other guys were pretty raw. And now they got the subtleties down of, like, how you kind of build drama on, like, a... even a little crap segment like what it was.
I think the main problem is I just don't care about Kane. I don't care about, you know, it's kind of like this whole corporate Kane, I just don't care about him. It's kind of like you with, like, Santino, or with, say, like, hell, like, maybe even like Chris Jericho, you know. It's like, I don't want to watch Chris Jericho matches. I don't want to see the guy lose. I don't want to see him put people over. I want to see him win every now and then. So it's maybe it's just a little thing like that, where I just don't anything, you know. And Kane was involved a little bit with Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. I really didn't care about that. I didn't care about the last match of SmackDown. It's just kind of a culmination of all these things. Do I like the Shield? Do I like him in the ring? Do I like him on the mic? Yeah, I do. I just don't care about Kane. I mean, why would I care about Kane coming out? It's just dull to me, man.
Well, I mean, I can understand that to a degree. If you don't care about Kane, but I'm not watching it for Kane. I'm watching it to see what the Shield does. And though I'm indifferent towards Kane in general, like you, it's not like I have disdain for him, and I think that he's like really detracting from the product the way I feel about Santino or some of these other guys. Kane, yeah, he's just kind of like a spot filler, right? But I'm not going to fast forward like the three best guys on the show because they're interacting with a guy who's just kind of mediocre right now. If it was Santino, that would be the only way I could probably break the rule. If Santino got his ass kicked by the Shield or the Wyatt.
No, you would watch it because...
Then I would watch it.
Yeah, because you want to see him get his ass kicked.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm fine with seeing...
I watched the last, 5 minutes of the Shield doing all that stuff to Kane. I watched that. It was entertaining. It's just, I want something else. I want something more from those guys. And I want something more from the undercard than, especially with CM Punk being out. It's time for them to not only, because you come and say, well, Daniel Bryan's filling that gap, Cesaro's filling that gap. Yeah, you're right, they are. And I'm glad that's happening to a small part. But I guess the problem was that a guy like Daniel Bryan shouldn't have to wait for a guy like CM Punk to leave for them to realize, hey, we should probably put him in with something. That's just, I'm tired of the thinking of it. We'll put CM Punk versus Triple H because they had some heat when they brought all the World Heavyweight Champions in the ring. So that's going to be a good match. I don't want to see that either. And then, we'll put Daniel Bryan with Sheamus. Those two guys will go. I don't really care about that as well. So it's just kind of like, I really don't care the direction that you're going, when it first happened. And then you take my favorite wrestler out of it. And then now Daniel Bryan's getting the push. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I understand. I guess I kind of understand that feeling. But at the same time, it's like, you're not really watching The Shield. You're not really watching Daniel Bryan. But you're going to sit and watch Triple H do 40 minutes of promo.
I didn't watch Triple H do 40 minutes of promo.
You watched his beginning promo and his last promo, which probably added to about 40 minutes.
No, I fast-forwarded most of it. I've watched the last maybe minute and a half of the opening promo, and then I watched probably about 3 minutes before. Maybe a minute and a half before he started beating up Daniel Bryan, and I was really close to fast forwarding that. But my daughters were watching, oh, I want to see this. I'm like, okay, but it's like I've seen. And the funny thing was, I've seen this before, and the whole thing is I was trying not to. I had to stay very quiet while it was going on because I know that they haven't seen it before. So it's new to them. And so, but I'm sitting going, I've seen this before. I've seen this over and over again.
Right.
And, I really don't care about that as well. I'm tired of seeing Dan Bryan get his ass kicked all the time. I think there's ways of doing it. I think there's ways of, him being a small guy. It's like, they always talk about him being such a small guy, this and this. Well, Shawn Michaels was smaller than he was. But they never said that. Shawn Michaels was treated with a level of respect. And they can do the same thing with this guy, but, they have to shove it down their throats about how small he is all the time. And it's just like, I'm done with it, dude. And I'm not saying that I'm pushing for Triple H to be champion. It's like, I want Evolution to come back. I want a badass faction up on top, and I want to see guys that I know will never happen, but in my perfect world, Evolution comes back, right? They get a fourth member. I don't care who it is. I mean, I would pick CM Punk as the fourth member of Evolution or whatever it is. And then you can have Daniel Bryan going after these guys. You can have The Shield going after these guys. You can have Dolph Ziggler going after these guys. You can have Sandow going after these guys. And then in the meantime, you still have this kind of separate entity unto themselves in the Wyatt family, and you have no idea where they're going to go. And so that's really that's the type of atmosphere that I want in it. As it is now, if Daniel Bryan wins the title by himself, that's great. But who is he going to have to face? And he's going to have to face Randy Orton again. He's going to have to face Batista again. And maybe he doesn't face Triple H because Triple H doesn't wrestle, whatever it is. But it's like, I still have to see him face off with these guys for 4 months straight. It's like, I don't want to see it. I've seen this. They've done this for the whole flipping year already with these two guys. And now they're bringing Batista in the mix, and I really don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, I don't know, I think you're kind of looking at it backwards, because let's say, okay, Daniel Bryan wins, and yeah, okay, he's probably going to have to go through Batista and Orton for a little while longer, but what if he doesn't win? Then all we're going to see is Randy Orton and Batista against whatever other humps they line up. I want to see Daniel Bryan get his run. I think there's a lot more opportunities to do new stuff with different guys with Daniel Bryan holding that belt, specifically Bray Wyatt and the Shield, rather than if they just continue to do a Randy Orton run, or they flip the belt over to Batista, or they give it to Triple H. It's a guarantee that they're just going to do stuff you've seen all over and over again. So I just don't quite understand. I mean,
You actually think that if Daniel Bryan wins the belt, you don't think Batista's going to take the belt away from him? Especially with the movie coming out and everything like that. I mean, you don't think that's going
to
happen?
No, I don't think they can put the belt on Batista.
But you think they'd be more inclined to have Daniel Bryan face any member of the Shield or any members of the Wyatt family over those two guys? I just don't see it yet.
I think so, because look.
And what are they going to do with Randy Orton and Batista? Just they're going to have matches between themselves. I mean,
well, nobody wants to see Batista.
I understand.
I don't think they can put that belt on Batista. Once they get through WrestleMania,
the guy has 2 years.
I understand that, but
so what are they going to do? What are they going to really get into? Intercontinental Champion?
I don't know, but I mean, they might have to do something to.
So can we just say that bringing back Batista was like the biggest mistake they ever made?
Yeah, no, it's terrible. But I think the best thing they can do is tear him down to bring him back up in the classic Vince McMahon way. So by the time his 2 years up, yeah, he'll get a run. But I don't think he's going to get a run anytime soon, because it's just don't think it's going to work. Now I think that, but I just think like you're saying, you don't want Daniel Bryan to get it because. I don't know. I just think it just seems backwards to me.
Like, I don't want him to get it because I don't want to see him face Randy Orton and Batista. I don't. If you're right, if he wins the title, okay, and then he faces off against the Shield for 3 months, each individual guy or whatever it is, and you see the best matches of yours in your life, by all means, you're 100% right. And I'm hoping that happens. And then if you can turn that around and have him face off against Bray Wyatt, which to me right now is one of the best matches I've seen. Best choreographed matches in terms of the way it was fought, in terms of pacing, in terms of storytelling, is one of the best matches I've seen probably in the past, I want to say, 5 or 6 years. I mean, right now, if you know, I remember the CM Punk John Cena match. I thought that was a very, very good match. I remember that one. But in terms of the match quality itself, I think Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan is one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. That's up there with like Ric Flair going against a Ricky Steamboat, going against a Terry Funk. It's up there with Shawn Michaels going up against the guys that he would go against. Up there with The Rock versus Stone Cold when both those guys are fighting for the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, it was that type of quality of matches. So if it goes the way that you want it to go, which I don't think will never happen, but if it goes the way that you want it to go, then the company's fine. I just don't see that happen.
So what do you think is going to happen? I mean, yeah.
I don't think Evolution is going to come back. I think Daniel Bryan may win the belt, but then after he wins the belt, he's going to face off against the likes of Randy Orton again. He's going to face off against Batista again. You're not going to see the Shield or him going against Bray Wyatt until 3 or 4 or 5 months later. And it's like, and I just don't have patience to wait around for that. Because what are they going to do with these guys?
So you'd rather see Randy Orton just continue to do what he's doing than see Daniel Bryan get the belt? I mean, they're probably going to all fight again. You'd rather see the belt on Randy Orton or Batista?
No, I'd rather see it on Daniel Bryan first, probably. And my second option is to see it on Triple H and Evolution for me. That's the two that I want to go through. But the whole thing, what I'm telling you is that if Daniel Bryan wins the belt, he's not going to face off against any members of the Shield by themselves, and he's not going to face off against Bray Wyatt by himself. Not right off the bat. Because you still have to clean up all this garbage that they left over with those two.
Sure, but I think by SummerSlam you would see Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt.
By SummerSlam, I want to see Evolution reform on WrestleMania. You slow play Daniel Bryan until SummerSlam and have Daniel Bryan finally win the championship clean and clear at SummerSlam. I mean, if you're going to play a slow play, it's SummerSlam to SummerSlam. Okay? The actual, like, legit, like, slow play, even though we felt that Daniel Bryan's been being slow played for maybe 3 or 4 months before that. But during that time, you had CM Punk in that mix, too, which made everything okay, because you'd have a great Daniel Bryan match, you'd have a great CM Punk match, right? But if you're going to slow play it to the truest form, is you wait for SummerSlam to SummerSlam. That's a full year. And if Daniel Bryan gets redemption at SummerSlam, then I'm more happy with that. I'd rather see this big-ass faction that doesn't seem like it can be beat, okay, with three guys that you flip and hate, that you know is going to hog up the mic time or whatever it is, and you get to this fever pitch where you hate him so much, so when Daniel Bryan finally does win, he's like a savior of the flipping company. That's what I want to see.
All right.
Because if they had it your way, I would be happy with that. If Daniel Bryan wins at WrestleMania, right? If he wins at WrestleMania and then he gets into a program with Bray Wyatt right off the bat, then you know what? Then that's what I want to see. Okay, but I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to happen right off the bat. No, I think, I mean, just the whole thing dictate. I mean, Orton has to get his rematch, right? So yes, after Mania. Yeah, he's going to continue to fight those guys.
But it doesn't matter who holds the belt. It really doesn't matter who holds the belt right now. Because the belt, to me, doesn't really mean anything. Because Randy Orton is facing Daniel Bryan every other week. Right? And sometimes Daniel Bryan wins, sometimes he loses. Batista is facing Randy Orton. And he's beating Randy Orton. And the belt's not on the line. So it's like, I just don't care. It doesn't matter who has the belt at all. But I'm watching the same match. I've been watching the same match since SummerSlam, the exact same main event every single time. And I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to see these three guys in the main event every single time, all the time. And maybe throwing a John Cena for a main event here or there. It's like, I just don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, but it seems like that's kind of what you're saying you want to see, though. If you're saying you want Bryan to get it,
but I'm watching this faction of Evolution, and then there's a possibility of a fourth guy. You don't know who that fourth guy is going to be. I'd much rather see a faction run roughshod over the WWE for 5 or 6 months, and just have you hate them and hate them and hate them. So when Daniel Bryan finally beats him for the title, whoever it is, it's actually going to mean something. Right now, I've seen him face Randy Orton so many times. And I've seen him face Batista, you know, or a Batista-style match, or a Randy Orton-style match versus Daniel Bryan. He does the exact same four spots he does every flipping time. It's just, I'm getting tired of it.
Right, but you're saying you're getting tired of it, and then you're advocating that they slow play it out till SummerSlam.
With Evolution, yeah.
But it's going to be the same match.
If Evolution reforms, and they're controlling the flipping show, and they're creating it, and everybody's hating them with, like, a passion. I don't understand what you're not seeing here. You know, if you have a faction of four people that's just running roughshod over the company for the next 4 or 5 months, and everybody hates them, and then all that's going to do is it's going to increase Daniel. It'll make me like Daniel Bryan more, because he's going against this force that he can't beat. And when he finally does beat him, all of a sudden Daniel Bryan becomes a savior of the company, and he becomes more of a hero than he is now. I mean, you let all this stuff boil up and boil up and boil up, and you get the big payoff at SummerSlam. The problem with what WWE has been doing is that you have this boiling point. All this stuff is boiling up, and then they're like, oh, it's not working, so let's go a totally different direction. I want them to have some type of stability. I want to have such a high point of hate directed towards Evolution. So when Daniel Bryan finally wins that belt against one of those guys, whoever it is, it's actually going to mean something. And then the show after SummerSlam, if they don't take the belt away from Daniel Bryan within 5 minutes like they usually do, and this guy can actually have a good run, then I'll be investing in this guy's run, because I've seen him go against these guys. Right now, Daniel Bryan has nobody to go up against. He has no foe to go up against, because they're not strong enough. There's nobody strong enough, stronger than Daniel Bryan in terms of what he does with the crowd. There's nobody on the flipping as a heel that can temper the popularity that Daniel Bryan has. So he's really by himself. I mean, it's like he has all this backing, but there's nobody that's good enough as a heel to put him up to that next level. If you have a heel of four guys, which Triple H has proven to be, where you can just totally hate Triple H, which we do right now, well, what if you keep on getting that over and over again? And then you finally you have Daniel Bryan beat Triple H at SummerSlam or whoever is the champion of Fire of Evolution, whoever it is, and you beat them at SummerSlam, and all of a sudden this guy finally gets his push. He's going crazy. Everybody's finally happy this guy has won, and let's see what happens after that. Then you can go and have Bray Wyatt face him, or have the Shield face him, or Seth Rollins, whoever it is. Then you can start doing that title run. But right now, there's nobody good enough. There's nobody that can hold Daniel Bryan's flipping towel, his rugged Ronnie Garvin towel, that can be just as good as him as a heel, as good as he is as a babyface.
Well, there is. He's just not going to get to go against him yet.
And who's that?
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. So, I already know that's not going to happen. You already know that it's going to be 3 or 4 months. And even after those 3 or 4 months, you still might not get Bray Wyatt. Because guess who's lurking in the wings? It's going to be John Cena. I mean, it's just the same stuff over and over again. I just don't... You know, everybody is going all crazy about Daniel Bryan and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but what are you going crazy about? The same match that he does every single flipping week? It's like I've been watching these main events every week. It's like it's boring me. I'm falling asleep during these main events. I should be excited when I see the main event. Like, that's a match I really want to see. I haven't seen that in a long time. The only time that I do that is when I see it's either going to be Bray Wyatt in action or if it's going to be the Shield in action. Those are the only two things that I'm happy with watching. And then I get the added bonus of if the Usos face off against a tag team or whatever it is, I know I'll get some good tag team wrestling in there. And that's it. So that's where I'm at, Dean. I wish I could mirror what you're saying about Daniel Bryan's earnings. Do I want to see him as champion? I don't want to see him as champion right now. I don't want to see him face these flipping same 3 or 4 guys because you get through Randy Orton. Okay, that's fine. Randy Orton's done. Okay, he's done over here. Then you get Batista. Okay, Batista's done. You know, we have 2 months of Batista. We get to watch his shitty-ass promos and his badass matches. And then guess who he's going to face after that? It's going to be Bray Wyatt of the Shield? No, guess who it's going to be? It's going to be the guy that gave him the push in the first place, gave him the opportunity to be a main eventer. He's going to have to face John Cena. And so we see John Cena, which that's actually pretty good to me. I wouldn't mind seeing John Cena versus Daniel Bryan. I'd rather see John Cena face, if Daniel Bryan wins WrestleMania, have him go in a program with John Cena. At least I know I'm going to get a good match out of it. And if that happens, then I'm fine. But then but then after the John Cena, you know you're going to have Randy Orton, and you know you're going to have Batista, because they're too fucking afraid to put Bray Wyatt at that top spot and have him go against the title right now. They're too afraid to have Roman Reigns do it, or Dean Ambrose do it, or Seth Rollins, who I think Seth Rollins is a perfect guy to go against Daniel Bryan, because those two guys can do things that you've never seen before, and actually can do a good-ass match. Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins, or Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt. That's all I want to see. And that's the only way I'd be happy out of this whole thing, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I think we're just kind of going in circles at this point, because like we're like saying the same thing, but then you keep going back to saying you'd rather see Triple H come out with a belt. So it just to me, it's not adding up. But we're just going to go back in circles on that anyway.
I'm not saying Triple H. I'm saying Evolution reforms. That's all I want.
Right. But that's still what you're saying.
And you can't see Evolution coming back as being any positive whatsoever.
I understand what you're saying about people hating them, but to me, it's almost getting to the point of Vicky Guerrero heat. Okay? It's not like they're doing anything that's groundbreaking or anything that I haven't seen before, like hundreds of times over. It's just that Triple H is so bad and boring on the mic that, yeah, I'm going to hate it. Like, people are going to hate them just because they're supposed to, because that's the general, like, sheep mentality of most of the WWE universe.
So you didn't like Evolution when they...
No, that was a long time ago. Yeah. Triple H right now, like, that Evolution was really good. Randy Orton was up and coming. He was new. Batista was up and coming. He had a lot of potential. You had Ric Flair that could cut the promos, and then you had Triple H that just kind of filled the gaps. That was good. But with no Ric Flair, none of these guys can cut a fucking promo. Okay, so then you're just going to have Triple H monopolizing the mic, because out of the three, he probably is the best at cutting a promo. And then that is the last thing I want to see is Triple H monopolizing the microphone any more than he already does. And that's where the problem lies. Because, yeah, I'm going to hate it. But it's not that I'm going to hate it because they're doing something so good that, you know, I have to despise what they're doing. It's Triple H is approaching Vicky Guerrero heat level on the microphone. And that's why I don't want to see that. And then you're talking about seeing the same matches over and over again. Yeah, you're going to keep seeing the same matches over and over again because it's Batista and Orton and Triple H are going to be the ones that have to be in it. At least when Daniel Bryan's in it, there's an opportunity to see a different match. Because, yeah, like, yeah, okay, if it's Orton and Bryan, yeah, that's something we've seen. Or if it's Batista and Bryan, it's something we've seen. But anybody else that Daniel Bryan goes against is going to be interesting. Okay, but anybody else that Randy Orton goes against or Batista goes against is not necessarily going to be interesting. Batista is pretty much impossible for him to have a good match right now. Daniel Bryan, yeah, you've seen these couple matches. And I thought the match he had with Orton was good. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything like I haven't necessarily
seen. The first one during SummerSlam.
No, I'm saying last night. I thought it was a pretty good match. I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering, but it was a pretty good match. I think Randy Orton's still doing pretty well. But anything you put Batista in is going to be shitty. And Randy Orton, as good as I think he's doing, like, he can't have a good match with just anybody. So but Daniel Bryan can.
What if you had Triple H in the kind of the J.J. Dillon role?
He can't do that.
And then you bring up two up-and-comers to be a part of Evolution, and you bring in two guys that are young and are up-and-coming, which they have a litany of people to do that with.
I'm fine with that, but that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's the same thing you want to talk about running around circles. I don't think, you know, Daniel Bryan winning the belt, I don't think he's going to face the guys that we want him to see. And we have to wait for that.
I think that we would have to wait for it. But I'd rather start the process at Mania and then wait for it and see some payoff at SummerSlam.
What's the payoff going to be?
I mean, by SummerSlam,
He has the belt and he faces someone that we want to see him wrestle.
Right. I think that would be in between now and when SummerSlam happens. I think there'd be enough time.
And you have enough faith in this company to recognize who is the next up and comer that people want to see.
I think that they have already marked Bray Wyatt as the next guy.
So, and I agree with you on
and
that.
The longer that it takes for Daniel Bryan to get the belt, the longer it's going to take before they even have a chance to put Bray Wyatt in that kind of opportunity.
And all I'm saying with that is I agree with you on that, right? But you still have the John Cena problem. You still have the Randy Orton problem. You still have the Batista problem. They're not going to take these three guys and push them off on the side. It's not going to happen. And I don't think within the four, like I'll say 6 months, which is not going to be 6 months, but in the 4 to 6 months between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, they're not going to take these four guys and push them off to the side in a meaningless storyline in order for any of these guys to get built up for SummerSlam. Now, if you have Bray Wyatt go against Batista, if he beats John Cena once, then maybe we have a glimmer of hope of what you're saying, which I will totally agree with. If he beats John Cena, then he beats John Cena. And then if he beats Randy Orton, he can beat Randy Orton. If he beats Batista, then he can beat Batista. And then he faces Daniel Bryan. Then you know what? We're getting the best of both worlds. Because while Daniel Bryan's facing any one of those three guys, Bray Wyatt's facing one of the other guys, and you're going to have a really good match with Bray Wyatt, which we still don't know yet whether he can against a guy like Batista, which I thought, you're right. Batista, you can't have a good match with Batista. I think Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt can be a decent match. I think Bray Wyatt's John Cena is going to be, I think that's going to be a very good match.
But Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt will not happen because they're both heels.
But I know, all I'm saying is that you have these three guys. Mm-hmm. They're not going to push those three guys off to the side.
No.
In order to build up a Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan storyline. Daniel Bryan has no power in the back. Bray Wyatt has no power in the back. They are WWE creations. Orton has power in the back. Cena definitely has power in the back. It's a very bad power in the back. And Batista is their golden child because he's the guy that's going to be in a blockbuster. I don't see those three guys going off on the side. That's all. And right now, I'm just very disenfranchised with the whole product within itself. And I think what is
coming... All right, here you go. I'll fix the whole thing for you right now.
Okay.
I'll give you what you want. Triple H can get the belt in the four-way at Mania, and they can reform Evolution. And we'll continue with the process of what's happened over the last couple of weeks of the Shield being alienated from the Authority, and the Shield backs up Daniel Bryan, and you get Daniel Bryan and the Shield going against the Authority, the Evolution, and that could sustain you to SummerSlam.
There you go. I mean, that'd be fine with me. And then you have Bray Wyatt be the dark horse. He can even stop Daniel Bryan from being champion at SummerSlam, you know, and then start a program there, get the belt involved somehow. I mean, Daniel Bryan somehow eventually wins the belt, but then that's how you can set up Bray Wyatt at the same time. So, yeah, I just, you know, there's, as down as I am, as I sound on the product, I think a lot of it has to do because you don't have a CM Punk in there to give you either wrestling or promo work to really kind of stop the show, you know, mid-show and give you a reason to watch. It's like you have, and I guess the thing is that when you had Daniel Bryan and CM Punk together, you're going to get one or the other, right? One of them is going to be in the match, the other one is going to cut a promo or advance a storyline. Well, you don't have that anymore without CM Punk. So, and you have all the guys that you do like, they don't have pull yet. You know, they haven't been selected yet. You know, I think Bray Wyatt has a big future. I'm very happy with what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. I really enjoyed that video package. I thought that video package was great. And then you have Eminem doing that at the same time. I was like, hey, this is pretty good.
I did fast forward Eminem.
You did? Well, you should watch it. You know, you should watch it. It was a nice little video package. They do very good video packages, and I really enjoyed that package. And it just more so because it's like, you know what, they're positioning this guy the right way. And they brought it back kind of like a lot of his old kind of when they were first introducing him with like his preaching out in the woods and stuff. Like they brought that back. They showed him walking on his arch back, walking on his hands and stuff. I mean, it's just it was some nice stuff there. So Bray Wyatt definitely. I mean, I'm sitting there going, you know, Bray Wyatt, this guy is the future. I'm just hoping that they stick to it. I'm just hoping that they don't change it. You know, mid run and go, well, you know, we need to do this instead because we're not getting the numbers in. You know, like the whole thing with Bray Wyatt and the Shield right now is that they haven't had to deal with like, well, numbers aren't coming in, so now we have to switch it up.
Well, in fact, this was the lowest rated Raw of since December.
So they are going to switch it up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it might directly correlate with the amount of FaceTime Triple H got, but that may not be here nor there.
Yeah.
But that was what I was reading from all the like wrestling outlets. It was like I really don't know what the ratings mean, but it was like a 3.0, and it was the lowest one of the year since December.
Yeah. So hopefully that doesn't scare them and they take away any push that Bray Wyatt's going to get or Daniel Bryan's going to get or the Shield's going to get, and they're like, oh, we're not getting ratings, so we have to, you know, it's just the same crap all the time, dude. Because it's like you see some good aspects of it, but then like, oh, it's a low. So then you know it's an avenue for them to, because Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are going to say like, oh, it's because of us. That's why it's so lowly
right.
rated.
That's the problem. Yeah, because they never figured that they're the X Factor.
So you know what we're having here? We're having our Road to WrestleMania show.
Yeah,
we're disenfranchised. So good for you. I mean, good for us, right? So let's go into Hall of Kayfabe. And I have a guy, but I always like you picking because, you know, I know I bogart the mic on this podcast sometimes. So I don't like dominating all the time. So that's why I kind of like you bringing stuff in. But if you want me to get a guy, I can put a guy in there.
I'm fine. I got a guy that I could throw out there, but I'm always curious because. Because as much as you bogart the show, I've probably bogarted most of the Hall of Kayfabe. So I'm fine when you bring guys.
The guy I want to induct is Stymie.
No. Nah, just go ahead. Go ahead.
No, the Slickster. I want to put the Slickster in.
Oh, the Slickster.
Yeah, not Stymie. I mean, Stymie.
I thought you were talking about
the Derby. No. was he? Was Coco Stymie?
That was who okay. Right. Jesse was referring to when he.
My fault, man. No, the guy I want to put in, I want to put the Slickster in just because a couple things. One was his entrance, his theme music.
Hip hop legend.
Was one of the best entrance songs of all time. the dancing he did was really good. And then, I don't know, I just think it's time. And you talked about this one promo this one time that I've never seen. Like, he's walking the streets or something like that.
Well, that's the video. There's a music video for his song.
Okay, yeah.
And he's like, walking through the streets of Cleveland through, like, the worst neighborhood you ever seen with all these burnt-out windows and burnt-out buildings. And then, just strutting down with his cane.
Yeah, and then, so... And then, of course, like, Jesse always had a field day with the Slickster. And he never called... Well, didn't he, like, talk about his derby or something like that, or... He didn't call him Buckwheat or anything like that, did he?
No, that was Coco. All that stuff he called Coco, man.
Okay,
no,
so like, let's put Coco Beware.
Okay, that's what I thought you were talking about. Burr, burr, burr.
But we have to create a separate wing for... hell, we can put Coco in there, dude, because there's a lot of funny stuff that happened with Coco, but... And I think the Slickster is... Yeah. I mean, I think he's deserving, because, I mean, he had a bigger presence than people thought. I think it was like, what, WrestleMania maybe 3? No, WrestleMania 2, when he had like a... He managed Butch Reed and stuff, and yeah, I remember...
WrestleMania 3, he was managing Butch Reed against Coco.
Against Coco, and then, like, I think, didn't he get someone stripped him or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
Chico Santana ripped his clothes off.
And I actually felt bad for Stymie that day, you know? It's like... I felt bad for Slick because, like, he was just doing his job, and it's like, I mean, he played it off very well. Like, it's like, dude, I'm like, I don't want to see Slickster, you know, get stripped of his clothes and stuff. But he had the dance going. He cut good promos, and he had one of the best tag teams ever in Akeem the African Dream and the Big Boss Man, the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, and then he kind of... He went through this resurgence where he became like a reverend or a pastor or something like that, and he's just like one of these forgotten guys.
Yeah.
You forgot how good he was. It's not like he has this big legacy where you have like a ton of stories with him, but he's just like one of those guys where he did so good of a job that you didn't realize how good he was until he was gone.
Yeah, and I think Akeem is probably the perfect guy to illustrate that, because by no means should this big fat Italian dude like be coming through dressed in like African gear and like having any kind of credibility, but somehow Slick made it work. And I thought, like, you know, I mean, I think, yeah, I never really got to see a whole lot of like him as the one man gang, but like I saw most of the time that I saw him perform was as Akeem, and I thought that Slick really, as silly as it was, it worked when Slick was cutting promos for him. And
now didn't Slickster manage Martel for a while. What was the one where he says, like, you did... I think he was talking about Tito Santana or something like that. He's like, you didn't take the money, fool. Remember that? What was the storyline in that? Was it the Tito Santana storyline?
I think that might have been why Tito came after him at WrestleMania 3.
Was that... Okay.
I think that had something to do with it.
So what was that match? It was like... It was Butch Reed and... Was it Adrian Adonis or...
No, I don't think Slick had anything to do with the Adonis.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was. It probably had something to do with Butch Reed, and because who was in a stable at the time was probably just Butch Reed, right?
Yeah. Well, WrestleMania 3 is a big... We should put WrestleMania 3 in the Hall of Kayfabe, because there are so many crazy storylines in that thing, and there are so many different like avenues. Maybe that's something we table later on, because I remember like that WrestleMania 3 that also was like the famous promo up to that point of the Iron Sheik. He goes, here is a 22-inch neck and a 22-inch arm. And out there, people be saying, USA, USA, but that no bother me. So there's a ton of things going on there. So you had that one. Then you had Slickster saying you didn't take the money, fool. And so there's just a ton of storylines that were there. And that's the one thing that I do remember with Slickster was when he did that. And then he started doing his, you know, he would come out with that music was bad. I mean, that... I mean, that was tight, dude. And it's just, he's just one of these guys that you remember. And, like, you're sitting there, like, maybe, like, 2 or 3 later, or like, maybe 6 months, and Slickster's on TV. You're like, where the hell is Slickster at?
Yeah.
And then you see him, like, 3 years later. And, like, he did, like, the whole Reverend kick where he became, and it's like, oh, well, I'm glad this guy's doing well for himself. But definitely, this guy was a part of our childhood. And
yeah. Now, Slick was behind Heenan. He was probably, like, the favored manager. I mean, I think we always liked Fuji because he was from Hawaii. But, you know, and he did well at what he did, but he didn't have that same personality that, like, I always found Jimmy Hart annoying. I wasn't, like, a big Jimmy Hart guy. But I thought Slick was, aside from Heenan, I thought he was probably the most entertaining manager that we really watched growing up.
See, but see, Heenan really, I mean, yeah, Heenan was a manager, but you hated his guys so much that you really didn't like Heenan. It wasn't until, I think, like, when Heenan started getting on the mic, when he started, like, commentating, when you really started liking him. But even then, like, you didn't like him. He was like a fuck. Yeah, like, maybe a year into him doing this stuff, then I really started, like, man, this guy's really good. But we're still in that whole kayfabe era. And I think this guy, to me, really broke kayfabe because he was a heel stable manager. But I really liked him because I liked his music. And he cut great promos on the mic. Was an honest, like, rendition of, I wouldn't say of who he was, but it wasn't a stretch to believe the guy. Whereas, like, Heenan, you knew Heenan was doing kayfabe. You knew he was doing a shtick. And it took a while for you to like this shtick, you know. And then once you grabbed on to Heenan, you know, Heenan's one of the best of all time. But as an introductory type manager, I thought Slickster was perfect for it because it's like, you didn't like the guys you didn't like the guys that he managed, but you liked him, and he gave you a reason to watch. And then you had Jesse just like clowning on everybody, and you know, and Gorilla would just like talk trash about Slickster all the time, Jesse would just like defend him the whole time, you know, like, oh, he's a great manager. He's like, you know, like he uses cane or something like that. He's like, he slipped or something like that, you know. So there's a ton of props with the guy too, like his cane, his hat, and stuff. And
yeah,
I just. For some reason, I just thought about him saying, I was like, this guy deserves to be in there. Because nobody talks about him anymore.
Yeah, I got no problem. I think he had some appearance sometime on one of those, like, throwback Raws within the last year. And he was just, he didn't do anything, but he was there. It was good to see Slick. So, yeah, I'm definitely cool with Slick being in the Hall of Kayfabe.
All right, so let's wrap this up. We're about an hour and a half in. We did the first 20 minutes of arguing about fantasy baseball. When we get done with this podcast, we're probably going to sit down and
argue about fantasy baseball some more.
Yeah, and say how I'm going to pick Michael Wacha in the first round and all that stuff. And then you're going to get all mad and
claim Tony Gonzalez.
Just drive away. So we got Better Have My Donuts over here on Bad News Ramen.
Walk away.
This is Mule Scale number 67. I'm going to step next to those who don't respect the rap legacy because I egg them seeds on the late nights. They got to wait right clever raps because with the bullshit it sounds like they never rap. In their life, I got a knife. That is lyrical, and Della's cause and fear, it still has potential. They didn't learn how the money's gonna burn. I yearn to make rap better. Let's stick together. You had your chance and you blew it. You had your chance and you blew it. You had your chance, you blew it. You had your chance, you had your chance, you blew it. Now, yeah, suck it. Funky Homo Sapien, Mount Cliff. Yeah, the Funky Homo Sapien, from Mount Cliff. Yeah, the Funky Homo Sapien, from Mount Cliff. Yeah, the Funky Homo Sapien, from Mount Cliff.